The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus went up the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. The Gospel of the Lord. You are members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles. Today we focus on the fact that we're here because of the saints that we celebrate today, that our entire existence is built on the foundation of Simon and Jude and the other apostles. We can learn so much from their lives about how we are supposed to build on the example and even on the life and the death that they have bequeathed to us. First thing we see in them that we're supposed to use as a mirror for ourselves is that they were called directly out of the prayer of the Lord. In today's gospel, we see that Jesus pulled an all-nighter praying to the Father for those whom he would call. And as soon as that all-night vigil was over, he called the 12, including Simon and Jude. Jesus' prayer continued for the apostles. We see it, for example, on Holy Thursday night, in that great priestly prayer, when Jesus prayed for the apostles, that the Father might protect them from the evil one, that the Father might consecrate them in the truth, that he might make them one just as they were one. He prayed for them and for their work, all those who would hear the gospel through their ministrations. He also prayed for eternal life for all of them, that they might be where he was going. Jesus was praying for them constantly. We see likewise with St. Peter how he prayed because Satan wanted to sift him like wheat, but that after his conversion he would strengthen his brothers and sisters. And so likewise with us, our vocations are not random. They're not fundamentally even our choice. They weren't God's whim. It came out of his prayer. And his prayer for us has never abated. So that's one of the reasons why we should have a great sense of our own dignity, great sense of confidence that comes from the constant prayer of the Lord, and a great sense of mission. Second thing we learn from them for ourselves is that when Jesus came down that mountain, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he called the 12. He didn't put out a job search. He didn't raid the rabbinical schools or the Pharisees who lived the Mosaic law, they thought, to the letter. He raided the wharves. He took Matthew from his tax collecting posts. He found somebody else under a fig tree. What characterized them? They had the faith of disciples. They believed. And with faith the size of a mustard seed, mountain ranges could be moved. That's where Jesus began with that faith. To be a disciple, as we talk a lot, is to be a student of the Master. And student is the Latin word for zealous. To be a true disciple of Jesus, we have to be on fire for him and for all that he gives. And they were. St. Paul tells us in his first chapter, his first letter to the Corinthians, that God chooses the nobodies of the world to bring to nothing those who are somebodies, so that nobody might boast in the Lord. This was not an impressive crew by worldly standards, but they did have that faith. Likewise, Jesus is not intimidated by what we lack. A lot of the times we can feel insecure about ourselves because we don't have everything we would want to have to be able to live the life and do the apostolate as well as our hearts would hope. And even worse, sometimes we can get really frustrated what others don't have, all of their flaws and insufficiencies. And sometimes even in our formation, our standards can be stratospheric. We can think that Jesus is trying to form some type of society of the perfected. We should always be seeking to become more virtuous, of course. But the fundamental criterion of our vocation is our faith. And sometimes, as we know in faith, it's when we're weak, we're strongest. It's when God can do the most through our weaknesses. So we see that in them and likewise in ourselves. Third criterion is that from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. He sent them out. Their whole mission was a mission. In the responsorial psalm today, we prayed their message went out through all the earth, and that's precisely true. They crisscrossed the ancient world. Imagine what one apostle would be able to do in the geographic expanse that is Manhattan, especially with modern means of travel and communication. They couldn't keep their faith in Jesus in. They were bursting in order to be able to bring others into that same communion. Likewise, the Lord has called us to be apostles, to spread the faith as of the greatest importance, not to hold it in, but to recognize that this is the greatest gift we can give to anyone else. Fourth thing we see, which was why they were effective apostles, is they were willing to die for the one whom they were proclaiming. That always gives any message much greater credibility. It was never a job. It was a life that they were prepared to live, even until and through what Jesus had promised would happen to them did happen. He had called them to follow him, not just in general, but along the path of the grain of wheat, and they did. He called them to save their life by losing it, and they did. He called them to pick up their cross every day, denying themselves and following him, and they did. Because they were totally in, because they were not afraid even of death, they weren't afraid of the suffering. And that's why they couldn't be intimidated. Not just by the Sanhedrin, not just by the Romans, but even by the devil. They were willing to go all the way, and that martyrion characterized their entire life. They lived with that end in mind. For us, we likewise have to live with that end in mind. If we're not willing to die for the faith, then Satan has found our price. It might not be 30 pieces of silver, might be more, it might be less, but he will have found it. We need to learn from them that the greatest credibility comes from the fact that we are just not afraid when we're following the Lord, no matter what comes. And the fifth thing we learn, it's about the power of intercession. It's interesting that out of all the saints who have ever lived, the patron saint of helpless causes would be Saint Jude, not Saint Simon, not Mary of Bethany, not even Saint Joseph or Our Lady. Saint Jude. Historically, this happened because his tomb in Syria became a pilgrimage spot. And eventually, St. Bernard of Clairvaux and St. Bridget of Sweden promoted devotion to him as this patron for the prayers that weren't getting heard in other circumstances. And the prayers were answered, and his cultus grew. Likewise, we're always supposed to be intercessors. Our whole life is meant to be one long, fervent prayer together with Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit to the Father, for us and for the world. We shouldn't be discouraged when we have what seem to be hopeless cases, because we learn that hopeless cases are never hopeless when we've got hope in God. And so we pray always with that hope in the incredibly powerful love that always works miracles. For me, when I think about St. Simon and Jude, I think about how the fact that they were the least of the apostles, named last in St. Luke's list today, right before Judas Iscariot. And then even their tombs are now, in a sense, last. A lot of Christians have no idea where their tombs are, but they're buried just a stone's throw from the rock on whom Jesus built his church. They're in St. Peter's Basilica, underneath the altar of St. Joseph, where the tabernacle is. Most visitors to St. Peter's will see everything else, but not really know the two other apostles are buried there together. St. Peter has a 70-ton baldacchino by the most famous sculptor of all time, and the world's most famous dome by one of the greatest painters of all time. And their tomb in the same church is missed by most pilgrims. I don't think they mind, because their whole life was pointing to Jesus, and Jesus literally rests above them, because they were constantly trying to lift him up. But nevertheless, they do live forgotten. They are still, in some sense, hidden with Christ in God. And so sometimes we will have phases in our life in which we will be out in front, known. And there will be other times in which we will be hidden. And others, called the same day, will seem to be exalted. But they were witnesses not just to the end, but still. And sometimes I think that more miracles are worked praying before them by those who do know than even before St. Peter. St. Simon and Jude were present on Holy Thursday when Jesus, for the first time, took bread and wine, totally changed into himself, gave them the command to do this in his memory. And they did. It was there that Jesus continued his prayer for them. And it's in the Mass that he continues to pray for us. This is where we receive the fruit of his prayer, where we become more zealous disciples, where we're set on fire to bring him to the ends of the earth, where we gain the strength to give everything, and where we bring our prayers. The Lord has been praying for us all night long. Let us respond as they did.